You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin. It is my great delight to invite back into our studios Megan McQueen, the director of one of the directors of the Scaffolding Theater Company, to talk about a production this weekend, next weekend, and the following weekend, Othello the Remix. And with her, rappers and performers, actors, and now here at KRWG, Julian Alexander and Josh Horton. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
All right. Othello the Remix. This is a production of the Q Brothers. I'm going to want to hear more about them. It's a rap version of Othello. They do a lot of Shakespeare, well,
adaptations, they call them.
Adaptations. I saw that's the newest one. I saw you, Julian Alexander, a few years ago in The Bomedy of Errors.
Yes.
So give us an example of Shakespeare in rap.
So I'll set this up real fast, because this one, Othello, that we're doing, has a cast of four people playing all of the characters. Mm-hmm. And instead of being set in the military, it's set in the hierarchy of like a rap crew. So in very early in the story, they establish that Othello is like the sick MC, like he's the dude, right, of the rap crew. And this is how they do it. We'll get some words from Josh Horton as Othello here.
Okay.
Yo, his rhymes are combined with straight fire like, I got a lot of drama hotter than Madonna in a sauna when she let you do a body shot of vodka off of her. Plus some sicker than guzzling a fifth of gin, puking, waking up and doing it again. You listening?
Ooh.
Trying to be the American dream. So put me in, coach, I could carry the team. Better know y'all, bourbon and a low ball, standing so tall, smother tracks like a snowfall.
Oh, you killed it! Come on now,
go in.
So that's an example of just how they playfully adapt the idea of Othello being instead of a having military prowess, rap prowess,
lyrical prowess, like
And it's funny watching. We watched many different interpretations, and Megan was gracious enough to share her loads of her archive of Othello good stuff. So we watched like the Lawrence Fishburne version, also the Royal Shakespeare Company's Othello, and it was cool to just see how they put the story in the rap scene in a different, fresh new take on it, but it still works and applies today.
It's the same story, same character dynamics, you know what I mean, but now we have like Othello being like a Jay-Z type. I think like that'd be like the best
analogy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's cool because like Othello is talented in whatever he does, and he's also an other. So it's interesting in the through line throughout all the stories. He's always he's accepted for his talent, but still seen as different.
Well, and the difference between and the military still functions this way as well. But I feel like the way it functioned in Italy in 1603 is quite different than the way we think of it now. So they shifted it, but essentially it's a story of a person who is an other having difficulty finding a way out of his circumstance. So Othello does that through military exceptionality, whereas here we have a lyric. He chooses to be a lyric writer.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a whole race element.
Absolutely.
In the original Othello.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know. Well, it's funny. It's written, a black man's story written for a white man by a white man. So the race issue is interesting.
And that's why, you know, Othello's a really interesting play, especially when you talk to a lot of black actors. And, you know, like there's this, we romanticize this idea of like playing Othello. It's like, but it's like also not, it's not a black show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's just the show to play just based in the white supremacy of what theater was, you know what I mean? So like, so coming in automatically, like a black person playing it is Othello, no matter what, thematically. But now by, I'm Iago, you know, so now in the Royal Shakespeare Company right now, you know, they have a black Iago too. And I was talking to Megan about this, and shit meets tons of videos, you know, and this idea of, you know, I don't know, there's a lot of debates, you know, concerning the real themes of Othello and whether or not race should be an issue. Yes, race is a theme in Othello, by having a white man, you know, trying to destroy Othello and having, you know, lines like, this is why I hate the Moor, this and that. But, you know, since I'm black as well, it takes away that, you know, that thing. Because you can rely on that. You can say, oh, Othello's just all about race. But now we kill that, you know.
Yeah.
And so what's this show really about? You know, we dive into the deeper themes and the themes that matter more, you know, because automatically, you know, we see through those themes. And that's why Othello has lasted so long. If it was just about race, you know, this would be a play that we're not really messing with no more.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mean to imply it's just about race.
Oh, yeah.
There's an element. There's an element.
That was for the people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Four people. That's it. That's on that. Mm-hmm. That are on the stage. Tell us a little bit about Megan, you're the director, what they're doing, what's happening, choreography, etc.
So I originally saw this production in 2013 in Chicago with the guys who wrote it in the cast. So it's interesting, we were talking about, you were just mentioning that Shakespeare was a white dude writing about a white actor playing a black man, right? So a tricky circumstance. Now that's not the case. The guys who wrote this are not white, and the performer who played Othello in Chicago was black as well. They tell the entire story in their own interpretation, but also in the context of living in Chicago, where race is like a huge issue, and in the context of 2013, where they're also thinking about what it is to be a woman and how Othello is reflective of on themes with gender as well. So it's, yeah, four people playing all of the characters. The character, so for example, Josh and Julian both play their principal characters, Othello and Iago, respectively. But then they also play backup crew members to all of the different numbers that happen throughout the show. Iago, Julian's track also doubles as Brabantio, the racist father of Desdemona.
Mm-hmm.
Juan Apodaca plays Rodrigo and Bianca. And Mark Katanga plays Cassio and Amelia. And it's interesting, what I've really loved about working with these guys, they've been really interested in telling that story authentically too, like really delving into the female perspective. So even though there's in the moment that they're all women, it's silly and very funny. It's also not funny to me at all. Like the day that we staged that scene, I broke down crying like too many times to count. Just thinking about like how we treat people as others and really what the heart of this is about more, I think, that they've actually brought out for me in a more compelling way than the Shakespeare was originally able to do, just because of distance, I guess. But I wrote in our program that, you know, the themes are as relevant as ever, sadly, and in an era of movements like Black Lives Matter, Time's Up, Me Too, Othello challenges us to consider who we value and who we oppress, who we envy, who we sabotage, and why. And so it's cool because we're doing this with a cast of four people of men of color, but with a female DJ, Latina, and a female director to kind of like bring in all of those perspectives.
Yeah. Hmm. Did you want to say something, Josh?
Megan was really clear about the intention of like A Man's World and not being like caricature of women or you know, being cross-dressing men and making fun of it. But it's like, no, you are women who are pissed off in this repressive man's world and not being able to being heard or get what you want. So she's really clear about that, and also about asking like why and bringing our own struggles or any time that we felt as a other to kind of bring that to the script and why we want to tell this story.
Yeah. You know, in Shakespeare's time, there were no women actors on stage. It was always men playing the even in the tragedies. And well, this is a tragedy. Mm-hmm. So that. Assuming totally different identities is like another level to the assuming of an identity just mm-hmm. as an actor in general, because mm-hmm. you take on a role, right. But now you're taking on a person taking on that role, right. Of a different gender. Yeah.
You know, one thing with this one too, you know, there's a lot of absurdity like in this show, and even the idea that like, you know, we're coming out here playing women as well, you know, sure, the audience is going to laugh, you know, they think it's funny, you know, because we just switch up. But, you know, you take away like the punchline of it, and you know, you really listen to what we're saying. It's like comedy, you know what I mean? Most minority comedians, you know, in any sense, that you know, most of their jokes have to do with like the struggles going on in their community and like real tough stuff. You take away the punchline and it's not a joke. Yeah. But you know, the punchline is, and you know, it's kind of like this idea that we laugh to keep from crying, mm-hmm. right? And you know, and that's what's interesting about it. So like superficially, yeah, this show is hilarious at some points, but then what's weird about it is like it's the underlying like tragedy, like,
yeah,
it's wild. It's like, whoa,
it also flips on a dime too.
Yeah,
it's like a roller coaster of funny, then the tragedy even comes harder because we made you laugh this whole time, and then when it flips,
like this could 0 to 100 just got real, real quick.
How long did it take you guys to like, when did you start rehearsing, learning your lines?
So I've been working on this script for I've been actively working on it for over a year, but not knowing that I was going to be doing it right now. But I like typed every single word of the entire thing to teach it in my class before the script was available, just from a soundtrack that I bought when I saw it. And so that helped because I didn't have a lot of time right before we started to work on it, but I knew what was going on because of that time. The guys didn't have very long. We actually, so Josh is in grad school at UNLV. And so when he got here, it was like 2.5 weeks before we opened. Yeah. So we didn't work. We worked for, I think we had 12 or 13 rehearsals. 12, I think.
Yeah, it was cool. This was the most intensive like rehearsal process I've ever had, you know, in terms of like a theater experience. Yeah, so like 2.5 weeks, really, maybe, kind of.
How do you memorize these words? Well,
they're young. But also, it's only an 80 minute show.
Minutes, yeah.
And rap, for me anyway, rap is not that hard to memorize because it's both, it has an element of melody to it too, but it's also so rhythmic and it rhymes.
Yeah.
And
right.
It's logical.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just well written. It's a good story.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I think, with hip hop, I mean, once you understand like the science of rap and the science of hip hop, you know, like we get it and like we're just counting bars, you know, and it's like most of the time, like there's a structure to hip hop that they follow. And which made it much easier to memorize. And you know, like, oh, this song, you know, he gets 4 bars, I get 4. So it's like, just with that, you know, you're in rehearsal, it's like, oh, this is me. Like, I'm going to come in, I know what I'm saying. And then, like, the more you work at it, and then after you get that, then it's about making it conversational.
Yeah.
Right. After that. So you get the bars, you get the lyrics, and then you need to make it sound like we can have a conversation over these bars. And that's something that I obsess over, like, in a lot of my work anyway.
Right. Well, it's also like Shakespeare, as in, they're telling you exactly what to put the emphasis on. It's like de-dum, 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 de-dum.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're like hitting keywords. So I feel like when you're rapping with the intention, it's easy to
they give you the tools.
Like they give you the tools to get it down. Yeah.
Josh, you're a theater student at UNLV.
Yes.
Julian, you just finished a master's at Leeds University in England.
Yes.
Did you guys do straight up Shakespeare in either of your theater experiences?
Yeah, actually the first plays I ever did were in sixth grade. Did Hamlet and Macbeth, and from there I was like, this is what I want to do. And then I did Twelfth Night at my time here at NMSU, and then we did Macbeth at UNLV, and we did Bomedy together.
Yeah,
right.
It was the first rap adaptation, rap musical, I like to call it.
That was our first time even like really working with each other and like hanging out with each other. Like ever since then we've been homies.
As they salute to our rap handshake we created.
Okay.
But I mean, mainly, like, I was over at Leeds for filmmaking, and that's my main thing. But, like, during that time, actually, I was, like, we were trying to do, like, a Shakespeare show. We were like, yo, what if we just wrote, like, a rap Hamlet? So we've low-key been, like, kind of working on something like that, you know?
Wow.
But, and I've shot, like, little, like, Shakespearean film scenes, because I think adapting, like, stage to film is, like, a cool thing, and I dig it when it's done well. And I think it's hard, and that's the thing, too, so...
But you,
I like these things.
I should just say, and Julian, you're now here teaching at CMI, the Creative Media Institute.
Absolutely. But you also did Midsummer.
Oh, yeah. So back when I was here, like, I did a Midsummer Night's Dream.
Like the not a rap adaptation.
Right. A real one. With the Shakespearean text. I was Demetrius, and also Merchant of Venice, as the Prince of Morocco. Typecastingly so. But it was fun. That was with Dart. Fun show, though.
And the other one was with Project in Motion.
Project in Motion. So they were both, like, fairly, you know, like, they weren't attached to a theater necessarily, and it was, like, really cool, like, more avant-garde, I suppose, ways of doing it with the Project in Motion. Midsummer's had, like, aerial dancers and stuff. So, yeah, so how do you make this Shakespeare, like, something that's, like, open and available to like other people, I think, you know, because it's really intimidating as an audience member as well.
Yes.
It's like, do I want to come and see this? I don't know.
Right.
You know.
All right. So let's, from that, this is being produced at a new bar or club in town.
You know what? I just kind of pick the venue based on what I think the project should be. And, well, for one thing, Othello the Remix, when I saw it in Chicago, I was a little reluctant because it was just one of few options available at the time. And I was like, I'm not the biggest Shakespeare nut. In fact, I have never done a Shakespeare play before.
Huh.
So it's funny that they haven't, I haven't, the director hasn't. But so when I went, I was like, well, I'm not so sure about like a rap adaptation could be like hokey. And also I'm not like a giant Shakespeare nut in the first place. So I don't know. But we went in and then loved it. And what was really cool was people of all ages were there, like 75-year-old former English teachers who are pontificating as it's beginning, you know, and like little kids and stuff. And everyone was into it within like 3 minutes, like just hands in the air, like dancing around. It was amazing. And so I just thought, you know, this has to come back to Crucis, and what would be the appropriate way to do that? And then when I found out Julian was in town, I was like, oh my God. And then they released the rights, just happened to release the rights at the exact moment. I was like, we have to do that. And then he was like, you know who could play? I was like, you know who would be an awesome Othello? Horton would be amazing. And he was like, I could get him here. I'm like, yes, yes. So, sorry.
So we haven't said where it is, though.
It's the Lavish Ultra Lounge. So Lavish Ultra Lounge is a new club inside the Ramada Palms. It's at 201 East University. And the reason that venue is perfect is not only because it's a rap musical, so it's kind of fun that if you want to, you can have a drink, you know, like have a martini before it starts, or like sip a rum and coke from the back and watch the whole play. But also, it's, I don't know if you know the history of that venue's been there a really long time. And like when my mom was in college, I guess they used to bring in a lot of like touring musicians to that space. Over the years, it's been a number of things, and now it just opened as what's supposed to be like a young, hip, cool club, to use old person vernacular. It's rad. they should daddy-o, check that out. But anyway, I'm very contemporary and cool. Anyway, yeah, so people actually can stay at the club, and they'll bump tunes when the show ends, too. So it's Friday and Saturday nights. The bar opens at 7, and the show starts at 8. The show's 80 minutes long, like amazing, fast-paced, incredible energy.
Without intermission.
Yep. Without any kind of break for them. They never leave the stage. And they're jumping around the whole time, different kinds of rap styles, back and forth, different characters constantly, little accessories to help out with that. And then you can hang out there and have another drink if you want to, or you can go about your merry way and think about what you saw.
The performances are this weekend, Friday, Saturday at 8. The bar and restaurant opens at 7, and Sunday at 3.
Yep. And the next weekend
the next
as well.
Two so weekends next. In June. And it's Othello the Remix. All right, one more little section, segment of a rap, maybe the two of you.
An interactive section?
A little back and forth?
Yeah.
All right. So maybe, you know, Iago's mad now, you know what I mean? Iago's been plotting. So Iago's mad because Othello's not putting him on. You know, right. He let this dude named Cassio come through. Cassio's lame.
Like he says,
Will Smith, dude, he's not a real rapper. Yeah. Iago's a real rapper, right. You know what I mean?
He's underground, though, man. He's opening for the opener, man.
But
he's
for
upset.
Some reason, Othello decided to put Cassio on before I get an album, you know what
so
I mean?
He's gonna plant the seed of doubt.
So I say, hey, Othello, did Desdemona know Cassio before you guys met?
Yeah, they went to school together.
Oh.
What you mean, oh?
Oh, nothing, bro. I was just curious, really.
Just curious? Come on, what's the dilly?
I just didn't know that he already knew her.
Yeah, he was the one who introduced me to her.
He did?
He did. Yes, he did. What's the matter? Why you always got beef with that kid?
Nah, I know the kid's having the awesomest time, so sometimes I think he kind of crosses the line. He started getting fresh. He was laying down his charm.
That's just Cass, man. He don't mean no harm.
And you kept your cool? I was like, oh my gosh. He just offered to give your wife a foot massage? Othello, a foot massage?
Iago, it was a joke?
If you said it was, then it was. I hope.
Yo, there you go again. Dog, just drop it. I fully trust my friends, all right? Next topic.
All right, bet. But I'll say this just once. She's known him a long time, and you what, a few months?
Yo, I know you think he's soft, but he's still our boy. And I appreciate the concern, but you're being paranoid. Dog, lay off the greenery, chill, enjoy the scenery, be happy for me. You know how much Desdemona means to me.
I am happy for you, bruh. Congrats. I'm just looking out for you.
Yo, well, I appreciate that.
Bravo. That was great.
That was like a more like dramatic one. That's not as funny as
you
know
you
what I mean?
You felt it all in there, like just like you were saying, cool. The seriousness, there's a kind of humor only because it's not what we're expecting when we're going to go see Othello. And the drama is building.
What's funny is when you compare it to like the real Shakespearean text, right? It's like it's nearly like thematically it's verbatim, hands down.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in. Julian Alexander, Josh Horton, Megan McQueen, Othello the Remix this weekend and the next 2 weekends of June. Good luck to you all.
Thank you.